Welcome to the wisdom and wit of Father Matthew Guckin. Over the years, Father Matthew Guckin has produced many wonderful teaching series, and we are delighted to showcase a number of them for you. On today's show, an episode from his series on the Gospel of St. John. Here's Father Guckin.
Hi, Father Matt. Welcome back.
I cannot believe we're at chapter 18
yes.
of John's Gospel yes. already. And we start to hi, everyone. Hi, Dave. How are you doing? we get into
we
passion.
Can skip the formalities and the niceties.
No, I know. You know how they say familiarity breeds contempt?
Yeah.
I think they're right.
Yeah. I hope you're not
just
there.
Kidding.
I hope you're not there yet with
just
me.
Just kidding. So we dive into the Passion. You know, the Last Supper is over. We're in John's Gospel now, and let's get into the Passion. Okay.
Okay. Let's have at it, as they say.
The Gospel of St. John, chapter 18.
The betrayal and arrest of Jesus. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples across the Kidron Valley, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, procuring a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that was to befall him, came forward and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word which he had spoken, "Of those whom thou gavest me, I lost not one." Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath."
"Shall I not drink the cup which the Father has given me?"
Jesus before the high priest. So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews seized Jesus and bound him. First they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had given counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. Peter denies Jesus. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. As this disciple was known to the high priest,
he entered the court of the high priest along with Jesus,
while Peter stood outside at the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the maid who kept the door and brought Peter in. The maid who kept the door said to Peter, "Are not you also one of this man's disciples?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and officers had made a charcoal fire, because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. The high priest questions Jesus. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where all Jews come together.
I have said nothing secretly.
Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. They know what I said." When he had said this, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken wrongly, bear witness to the wrong. But if I have spoken rightly, why do you strike me?" Annas then sent him, bound, to Caiaphas, the high priest. Peter denies Jesus again. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They said to him, "Are not you also one of his disciples?" He denied it and said,
"I am not."
One of the servants of the high priest, a kinsman of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter again denied it, and at once the cock crowed. Jesus before Pilate. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the praetorium. It was early. They themselves did not enter the praetorium, so that they might not be defiled, but might eat the Passover. So Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not an evildoer, we would not have handed him over." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put any man to death." This was to fulfill the word which Jesus had spoken, to show by what death he was to die. Pilate entered the praetorium again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?"
Jesus answered,
"Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me.
What have you done?"
Jesus answered, "My kingship is not of this world. If my kingship were of this world, my servants would fight, that I might not be handed over to the Jews. But my kingship is not from the world." Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" Jesus sentenced to death.
After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no crime in him."
"But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. Will you have me release for you the king of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber.
As you're reading that, I'm just trying to take in. And by the way, I should have said this probably in the first episode, but it helps, I think, as we're going through this, Dave, if our listeners would have like a Bible next to them, and probably many of them already do, and because they're further advanced in the spiritual life than I am. But I think it helps as, you know, as I make references to things, they can maybe mark up their Bibles and highlight them.
That's a great idea, Father Matt.
I should have mentioned that my first week, why I haven't gotten that raise. But as you were reading that, I was thinking of a church I've been to about five times over in this whole area. It's called St. Peter Gallicantu, which means, Gallicantu means cockcrow. It's where the cock crowed. But I began thinking about Peter's denial of Christ. That Peter, it said, he as he would walk around the streets of Jerusalem, I may have mentioned this already, but the people would make rooster noises to sort of rub his nose in it.
I wasn't aware of that.
And so just think of the utter shame he would have had. Another legend, which it's a legend, but we'll give it the benefit of the truth here.
We'll embellish it a little bit.
Well, the story is that Peter cried so much for having denied the Lord that tears left furrows in his cheeks.
Oh, wow!
So Peter, you know, he, if that's true, I'm not sure, but if those stories are true. But if true, it's believable for me.
Yes, yeah.
You know, then he definitely paid a price.
Oh, he did.
Beyond being crucified upside down, which would be enough. So
yes. What a story. What a story. And I have not heard that particular story.
Well, if nothing else, it illuminates what's going on here. Just like in the last episode, I talked about Nina Biller actually having an experience of drowning. I think we've all been there, where we just experience great sorrow in life, either our fault or the fault of others. Or
when it hits us, when we realize that we, if it's our fault or other, I mean, something happens to us by others.
And I'm blessed,
a deep sorrow,
as a disciple to experience that. But as a priest, I'm blessed to, you know, be in the confession, confessional.
Yeah.
And oftentimes enough, you know, you hear people with, you know, a life-turning moment, like a real metanoia, you know. But you'll notice here in this, again, in chapter 18 of John's Gospel, it reminds us just how dramatically different John's is from the other three Gospels. And I think one of the reasons for that is that it grew out of a different community than the others. And it reflected on the events of Jesus' life in a unique way. And so the high point of Jesus' mission is the hour of his glorification, when he passes to his Father through his death and resurrection. You know, I just literally, so I might sound like I'm a little out of breath, I just came from a funeral. Mm-hmm. And a brother priest of mine, Monsignor Brian Hennessy, who's my classmate, and I by no means want to embarrass Father, but, you know, he got choked up. Understandably, his dad just died, Larry. Yeah. You know, we all get there. But the beautiful thing about a believer is that you proclaim that this death doesn't get the final word, you know, that there's
Not at all.
You know?
Well, I want to extend my and our condolences from Holy Spirit Radio. I mean, it's always tough to go to a funeral. And as I mentioned to you at St. Francis Cabrini this past week, there were two funerals of two very good parishioners, you know, long in the church. So it's tough. But as believers, we know death is not the end. It's the end of physical life, but it's the gateway to eternal life.
I was talking the other day with the director of our Catholic Youth Organization, CYO. His name is Tim Carroll. And in March of 2022, his dear wife, Patty, passed away at a very young age. And so it was just a meeting, really a meeting of coincidence. He was in the office talking to one of the women who works in the office, Joyce Raines. And I just said, "Hey, Tim, how's it going?" And we start talking. And all of a sudden, within seconds, we start talking about his wife, about his kids. And he said, as I've heard many times, the best, "I don't know how people do this without faith." Mm-hmm. You know, because wife suffered terribly. Patty suffered terribly. And
sorry to hear that.
And that plays out, you know, in household after household after household.
Yes.
And that's what this is all about, particularly this chapter. And so at this time, Christ reveals himself and communicates the life of God to those who accept him and commit themselves to him. He doesn't pray at the end of that priestly prayer, for example, to be delivered from the hour, but he realizes this is the goal of his whole life here.
Yes.
The Passion account of John, it begins with the arrest of Jesus in the garden. So unlike the other three evangelists, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, John doesn't portray Jesus praying in Gethsemane for deliverance, as do the others. You know, deliverance from his impending suffering. He also differs from Matthew, Mark, and Luke by introducing Roman soldiers into the garden scene.
Yes.
That's a Johannine, John. That's a Johannine illustration. And this presence of a Roman cohort and the tribune shows Roman collusion in all this. That is to say, cooperation, involvement in this action against Jesus.
Yes.
And then being fully aware of everything that was about to happen to him, Jesus takes the initiative and he goes forth to meet Judas, who dimed him out, and the arresting party. And Jesus says, "I am." Yeah. You know, as we hear him say so often in John's gospel, and I've covered in previous episodes of this, he says, "I am." And it identifies Jesus and expresses his divinity. And then, of course, as you just read, before this divinity, this divine presence of Jesus, what do? They all turn away and they all fall to the ground. You know,
I can just envision that. They just all collapse. Like, anyway, boom.
Yeah, there's that song, you know, it's a little old now, but I love it. It's by Mercy Me. What's the name of the song?
I'm blanking on that, Father.
I can't remember it, but will I stand in your presence?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Okay. I can't believe I'm...
I'm blanking on it, too. We played it on Spirit in the Morning quite a bit.
It's a great song.
I can only imagine.
Like, what am I going to do in the presence of the Lord? You know, am I going to stand? Mm-hmm. Am I going to fall? Mm-hmm. Am I going to fall to my knees?
Yes.
You know, it'll come back to me. You know, it is amazing. As I get older, I just cannot remember basic things. By the way, this is the only legal act, Jewish legal action that's described by John.
Mm-hmm.
Is this hearing that takes place before Annas, a high priest. It doesn't seem to be, Dave, a formal trial, but instead like an interrogation to see if Jesus admits to anything revolutionary.
Almost like an impromptu thing, on the spot.
Yeah.
Like, let's do it now. Let's interrogate him.
Yeah. In the middle of the night, too, I might add, which was a violation of Jewish law.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this interrogation to see if he's an insurrectionist. Peter's denial of Jesus, it's woven together. John masterfully weaves it together with the interrogation before Annas. And when Jesus is questioned, with great courage, with great fortitude, he defends his mission. Peter, on the other hand, when he's questioned, he's a coward. He denies his association with Jesus.
He shrinks into the background. I was going to say something about Jesus. I mean, he just steps forward. He owned it. Like, because
man
that
up.
Was him. Man up.
Right?
And that what a contrast.
Peter turtles up.
Yeah. He,
right?
Yeah, you exactly.
Know? And, you know, Peter gets a bad name, the truth be told. We all do it a lot.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like I was talking before about I think in the last
episode. Who, me? I was going to say, who, me? Do I? Never, yeah, yes, I've done that.
About?
Yes.
About gossip.
Oh, yeah.
You know, how many times when we hear gossip, do we, how many times do we say, well, is that the whole truth? That's really no different. It's the same disposition.
We're kind of baby stepping into things and not to paint ourselves in the worst light. I mean, if we own it, yes, say yes, you know. Let your yes be yes and your no be no.
It's easier said than done.
Absolutely, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
For all of us.
For all of us. Well, I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah, I think that's why I try to start every day with a holy hour. I don't always get that accomplished, but we have upstairs in my rectory, we have a beautiful, simple little chapel.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to spend some time before our Blessed Lord and there every day. And I will say this, that helps, you know, to sort of set the day properly.
Yeah, it's a centering. You try to become centered for the work ahead of the day.
I'm a little uncomfortable with that word.
Centering?
Yeah, I think I know what you're saying. What you mean by
become
it?
Focused?
It can be okay. I like that a little
focused.
Bit better. Centering. I don't know. It smacks of New Ageism.
Well, yeah,
to me.
I'm
not saying it is, but
true.
For me,
I should have said centering oneself in the Lord. Maybe.
Then why didn't you?
Okay. Because I like. Because I like centering.
Touché. Good for you.
But I'm glad you called me out on it, you know. I really am. Please continue. I mean.
Okay. So.
I mean, to call me out when we need it, Father. Really, I'm learning.
Well, I can't do that online. I can't do that in the air.
Yes, you can.
Okay.
But take it easy. See, there's an example of, like, you know, I'll fess up, yeah.
Okay.
I know I.
Well, don't ever, for any reason, do anything for anyone, for any reason, ever, no matter what, no matter where, or who you are with, or where you are going, or where you've been, ever, for any reason whatsoever. Sometimes I just start saying things, and I don't even know where it's going, just like that. So the trial before...
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, right. The trial...
We got a little levity in here, Father.
Yeah, well, it is the wisdom and wit of Father MacGuckin.
Yes.
So the trial before Pilate, this really stands at the heart of John's passion narrative. So having reduced the Jewish legal proceedings to a single question, which was asked by Annas, John then focuses entirely on the Roman trial. Okay, so there's a couple of trials going on here. And each scene of the trial is dripping with irony. Each scene expresses two levels of meaning, physical versus spiritual, natural versus supernatural. It's evident to the reader, but not to the characters within the scene. And I think it's important for us to think of it like that, as a drama. And then the emphasis throughout all of this is on the kingship of Jesus. Jesus' condemnation under the pretext that he claimed to be king is the means John uses to reveal the true kingship of Jesus, right? Are you a king? You say so, right? Only John's gospel gives the reason for the trial before Pilate, because the Romans alone had the right to put anyone to death. And so the first question Pilate asks is the same in all the gospels. Are you the king of the Jews? This is a strong indication that the official accusation made against Jesus by the high priest was really subversion against Rome by claiming to be king. So there's two things going on here, right? I mean, Annas doesn't give a whit, pun intended, doesn't give a whit about, is he subversive?
Yes.
Right? They can't stand their occupiers. But they sort of subtly weave it in there. See, it's like when they say, crucify him, he claimed to be king, you know, and that's subversive there. So here, Jesus assumes control of the dialogue. And again, I do ask our listeners to reread this, all right? Yes. So it's Jesus really beginning to control the narrative, and he gives a careful explanation of his kingship. That is to say, his kingdom is not a political reign, but rather it comes from above. I do think, say, when it comes to the social teachings of the church, and I, quite frankly, I think for authentic disciples, like, it's so easy for us to see things, see life through a worldly perspective, and really to jump into the political right or political left, right?
It's,
really, when you listen to people, you can tell they're more identifying as a member of a political party than as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And we see that with the social teachings that the church gives to us, that they're not policies, they're principles.
Yes.
And again, I would say it's very lazy of people, Dave, to say, well, I'm just going to vote for this person. And then the passions go into one of two ways.
Oh, yes.
Whereas if you look at, say, the social principles of the church, first of all, the foundational principle is the dignity and value of every human life.
Yes.
Right? A preferential option for the poor. Right? Care for God's creation. These are all principles that mark Catholic teaching on social issues. But they don't get behind. I can always tell when a priest is off, when he's clearly getting behind a candidate, even without mention. I mean, sometimes I sit there and listen to people and say, why don't you just mention, go vote for this person?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, have some courage to do that.
Step out and do it.
So, and most don't, to be honest with you. But here we have Jesus saying, look, my kingship is not of this world. It comes from heaven.
Yes.
It comes from above.
Clear and distinct.
Clear and distinct. Yeah. The mission of Jesus is to reveal the truth. The trial is, at this point, no longer about the innocence of Jesus or the guilt of Jesus. But really, at this point, it's whether or not Pilate is going to respond to the truth. And now, so by Jesus really claiming the narrative at this point, by taking control, it's now Pilate who's on trial. And which I think we need to, it's a really it's a creative, almost a sleight of hand, if you will.
I was just going
to
say that.
I hate to
that.
Apply
yes.
that to,
yeah, but,
to the God-man, but mm-hmm. it really is. And now Pilate's the one who's on trial here
mm-hmm.
and doesn't even realize it.
Yes.
Right? And so Pilate, who I think knows that Jesus, I know he knows that Jesus is innocent, but what's he's innocent. So he's not really, so Pilate's not willing to say that, mm-hmm. that he's innocent. Why? Mm-hmm. Because he's so worldly.
Yes.
And so he yields, does Pilate, more and more to those who reject Jesus. Because, quite frankly, because Pilate himself had rejected the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so he, and so I, you know, there's a lot in this for all of us, you know, mm-hmm. to, truth hurts,
mm-hmm.
truth is hard to get at. But as Jesus said way back when we were doing chapter 8, it does set us free. And so
I was just going to say that.
So
I really, why didn't I, right?
Yeah. Maybe you were bound up, you know, rather than we weren't free. So Pilate, he's the one who's enslaved. He's enslaved to a lie here.
Yes. So, as are many people.
Many Christians.
Many Christians.
Or people who say they're Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Yes.
So that brings us really to the end.
So I was going to say the second to last line. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? So a rhetorical question for many.
I think it's I think it's both rhetorical and literal, Dave, in the sense that mm-hmm. I think Pilate is in a certain sense mm-hmm. the patron saint of the modern world.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, so-called, mm-hmm. right? Saint, of course, being in quotation marks. But in the sense that, what is truth? There is no truth. There mm-hmm. is no object. It's basically, it's just opinion, mm-hmm. right? And that goes back to a lack of belief in one God.
Yes.
You know, because if there is no God, then where does that truth flow from?
Mm-hmm.
And so,
exactly.
excuse me, like Pilate is the patron saint of relativism, if you will, of modern thought, where there is no truth. He says it. He admits it.
He's emblematic of it.
What? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have to tell me what that word means. But yes, it sounds good. But I would say, so, yeah, what is truth?
Yes.
And I do think, I want to come back to that, like the definition, the traditional Catholic definition of truth is conforming our minds to reality. You know, like what is real? And
yes.
that's what sets us
okay.
free. Okay.
Well, thank you, Father Matt Guckin. Another great homilizing and exposition of the Gospel of John, chapter 18. Okay.
Chapter 18 it is. So now we're going to continue with chapter 19.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, we get deeper into the Passion of Christ.
Yes.
So I'm excited.
Yes, yeah. So am I. And we only have a few more books to go until we're finished with John.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and again, I invite our listeners to, as Father Matt has suggested, you know, read along with us.
Yeah.
And in between hearing these episodes in this series, delve into the gospel, the Gospel of John.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got it. Dave, thanks so much for giving me the platform
okay.
to talk about Jesus in John's gospel.
You're welcome, Father Matt. Thank you for doing this. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk to you next time. God bless.